Airline tickets may be sold by the pound. The implications may go beyond economics. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Last year, during the height of the publicity surrounding all the new a la carte airline fees, low-cost airline Ryanair used the idea of charging passengers by the pound to create some controversy, a sort of tool in reinforcing its brand as the airline that will do anything to keep base fares low. At the time, the controversy passed by, but now it's back, and this time, it's no joke. The major airlines, which have seen their customers generally accepting of additional fees for checked bags, are said to be pondering a next step, which could involve weighing passengers and their luggage to charge airfares by the pound mile. This could have obvious economic impacts on many of us, but the psychological impact is also of concern to researchers. Dr. Rebecca Poole is a PhD research scientist and director of research and weight stigma initiatives at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. She's joining us today to discuss her area of study as it regards airline practices. Dr. Poole, thanks for taking a few minutes out for our listeners today.
Thanks very much.
Let me start out by asking you how someone decides to choose this as her life's work. Was there something in your background that made you take this up as a sort of cause? Because it looks as though you've specialized in this back from the days before you were a PhD back to your internship days.
That's right. You know, this is not an issue that I actually ever thought I would be devoting my career to. I came to Yale as a graduate student in clinical psychology and actually initially started on the other spectrum working with eating disorders. But as a graduate student, I was provided with some opportunities to do research in the area of weight bias. And as I kind of delved into that area, I really realized that there's a lot of research that needs to be done in terms of the quality of life that obese and overweight individuals experience because of issues like discrimination and bias. And I felt that this was a story that really needs to be told and that we need to find ways to reduce discrimination. And as a result, I've been researching this now for about 10 years, and we've learned a lot, certainly, but there is also a long way for us to go.
Well, now, there are actually kind of two facets to this, if I understand it correctly. There is the issue of civil rights for people who are overweight, but you kind of look at it from the possibilities of actually doing psychological damage to people by engaging in this kind of behavior.
Absolutely. This is a very complex problem, and what we know is that overweight or obese people who are discriminated against, who are stigmatized or victimized because of their weight, are vulnerable to a range of different emotional and physical health consequences. So, for example, people are more likely to suffer from depression and low self-esteem, even suicidal behaviors. And we also know that people who are victimized because of their weight are more likely to engage in unhealthy eating patterns and avoidance of things like physical activity, both of which may actually just reinforce weight gain.
Now, I'm going to go to a couple of things that you've written recently just as starting points to talk about this, because it's kind of interesting. We know that, for example, since the FAA decades ago defined a standard person, unquote, as someone weighing 170 pounds for the purposes of determining airline weight and balance calculations and seat design and everything else, that the population of the United States in particular has moved more and more into higher average weights. I mean, it's just a fact now that we have more people who would qualify for the definition of obesity of 40 years ago than we did at the time that definition was cast.
Absolutely.
Now you write recently that people think sometimes because obesity rates continue to increase, we really shouldn't have this problem, that attitudes should be getting better and more tolerant. But what we see is that the weight bias problem is getting worse. How can this be? Are we actually getting into a situation where overweight people are part of the discrimination problem against themselves?
Well, you know, what we see is that weight bias in general has become more pervasive and has worsened over the past couple of decades. And I think there are a couple of reasons for this. One is when we think about the way that the media portrays overweight and obese individuals, I mean, it certainly doesn't take long for anyone to think of a certain television show or film where an overweight or obese character is ridiculed and stereotyped. And certainly this is what we see in the science, that there's lots of studies that have been done looking at the content of media. And I think when we consider how much media our culture consumes, it's really not surprising that we see such negative attitudes. But another issue that we need to consider is legislation that, you know, in comparison to factors like gender or race or age or sexual orientation, there really are no protections in place for people who are obese. And so if they've been discriminated against, they have no legal recourse. And I think that also tends to send a message to our society that this is a form of bias that has become very acceptable. It's rarely challenged and it's often ignored. And as a result, you know, this continues to escalate. Continues to be a problem. We see this beginning in kids as early as 3 in preschool, and these negative attitudes have really become part of our culture.
Now, part of this obviously is a lifestyle issue. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to term this, but you mentioned in a recent study that obese employees are considered less conscientious, less agreeable, less emotionally stable. Is this because in part, and it is the problem with the civil rights end of things, partly because people see being obese as something far more voluntary than being black or Hispanic.
You're absolutely right. There's one of the biggest foundations in bias is because people simply attribute blame and fault to a person who has excess weight. And there's a really common perception that obesity is just simply an issue of willpower or self-discipline. And unfortunately, this really does not accurately reflect the science that, you know, obesity is a much more complex issue. It involves a very complex interaction of genetic, environmental, biological factors, and certainly individual behaviors are part of that problem, but they're only one piece of a much more complex puzzle. And so that's something that we really need to make sure that the public is aware of, that obesity has a very complex etiology, and it's also there's a lot of complexity in terms of the effectiveness of weight loss treatments as well.
Now, where does weight bias begin? Is it purely environmental? Is it something we get from our parents or teasing in schoolyards or advertising images, or is it a combination of all these things?
It really is a combination of all those things. I mean, when we think about any form of bias or stigma, there are multiple reasons why it comes into being. And the same is true with obesity. But I do think that things like media portrayals, I think our cultural values that place a very strong emphasis on thinness come into play. So does our billion-dollar diet industry, which, you know, communicates the message that people can have whatever body they want if they try the new program or the new pill, etc. So there are a lot of different cultural and social factors at play here.
Dr. Poole, we need to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk specifically about the airlines. My guest is Dr. Rebecca Poole, who is Director of Research and Weight Stigma Initiatives at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is Dr. Rebecca Poole, Director of Research and Weight Stigma Initiatives at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. At some point, there is a health issue involved with weight, but we're going to kind of ignore that side of it today and talk about specifically the airlines. I'm kind of conflicted when I read your research and try to apply it directly to the airlines because their situation is a little different because there is actually a set of economic parameters that go beyond bias. I mean, there's actually some science that is affected here. The airlines have costs that are related to the overall aircraft weight. They obviously have some economics related to how many seats they can put on a plane. And there's the psychological issues among passengers in this environment where we're in close quarters. Do you acknowledge that this is a little different kind of issue than it is just thoughts of people you see walking down the street?
Well, you know, I certainly think it's a complicated issue, but I do think that the potential for bias here is very strong. And, you know, certainly there are economic ramifications for most, if not all, decisions that are made by a business. But, you know, the need to cut costs or to save costs, you know, does that justify discriminating amongst customers? And so I think we really need to look at the bigger picture here and to really recognize the complexity, but also realize that it's bad business to treat customers differently for economic reasons and to be having passengers pay all different amounts for the same service.
One of the big issues that's in the news the past few weeks, especially given the fate of Flight 3407 that crashed in Buffalo back in February 12th, and some people are saying, you know, we're just going to have to do away with these $99 flights and accept the fact that we have to pay a certain amount per ticket to get pilot pay up where it needs to be, among other things, or training expenses covered the way they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of your position here, that if we have to go to two seats in a row rather than three on one side of an aisle, that's just something we need to do and maybe acknowledge that the average person now is bigger than what the seat was designed for?
Yeah, you know, our population has changed dramatically in the past several decades. You know, 34% of Americans are now obese, and that number is not declining. It's actually likely to rise. And so, you know, it seems reasonable then to provide an appropriate number of seats that would accommodate that percentage of the population. You know, if we think about, you know, what if 30% of Americans were very tall and couldn't fit in the seats or were in wheelchairs? You know, I think the industry would probably make changes to accommodate those needs. And so I think we need to accept the fact that obese travelers represent a significant percentage of people who are flying.
I have to ask you for your opinion, and this may not end up being based on research, but do you think we'll ever find a way to reverse the obesity problem we're having in our society now?
You know, I think what we need to focus our efforts on is prevention, because unfortunately what we know from a considerable amount of science is that today's conventional weight loss programs are not very effective. And what I mean by that is that, you know, lots of people can lose a significant amount of weight on a number of different programs, but the vast majority of people regain that weight. And that has much less to do with personal willpower as it does with the ineffectiveness of our current treatment options and the fact that our body weight is regulated and governed by very complex biological and genetic factors. And, you know, the science is so strong on this that medical panels and professional groups are now in consensus that we really cannot expect people to lose more than 10% of their body weight and keep that off long term with our conventional treatment options. So I absolutely think that we need to focus our efforts on the societal and environmental conditions that have really created obesity in the first place and try to prevent this from harming future generations.
Well, if we cannot lose and sustain a loss of more than 10% of our body weight, that has some terrifying implications to yo-yo dieting.
Yo-yo dieting is very dangerous for health. And what we see too is, you know, weight regain going from one diet to the next, losing a lot of weight and regaining it back has a lot of negative health implications. And you know, it's important to recognize that there are certain health benefits that can come with modest weight loss of 10% in terms of blood pressure and cholesterol and things like that. So there are benefits, but we need to be realistic about what is actually achievable.
Now, when you talk about what's achievable, I'm reminded of the TV show The Biggest Loser. Is this helpful to people, do you think, who have a weight problem, or is it destructive?
I think it actually is destructive, because what it shows us is it gives us a very artificial environment where people lose dramatic amounts of weight very rapidly, which is very medically unsafe and not recommended. And it's very difficult to replicate that environment in the real world. You know, people who are watching that show do not have the personal trainers, the chefs. They have jobs that they need to go to, kids to take care of, food that they need to make themselves. And so I don't think it sets up a realistic standard of a safe or healthy way to lose weight.
All right. Well, you have taken on a fascinating area of study. Is there anything that this is going to get a little out of your area of expertise, but is there anything from a legal or advocacy standpoint that you think overweight people should know about in terms of dealing with the situation they may face with airlines or in any other facet of life? Is there some place you recommend they go for help on this?
Well, certainly, our center provides a lot of resources on weight bias issues. That's the YaleRedCenter.org. But I think in general, you know, we need to make sure that people who are being treated unfairly because of their weight feel like they have a voice. And, you know, right now there are no there's no legislation in place to protect individuals, but that doesn't mean that their voice, you know, is not heard. And I think, you know, a lot of the airlines issues that got started recently, you know, was initiated by, I think, you know, 700 complaints to United Airlines from thin passengers who wanted more space. But, you know, I am sure to bet that there are a lot of heavy passengers who also want to feel comfortable when they fly and who want to be able to fly with dignity. And so I think the more that we can recognize these voices and realize that this is a significant percent of our population, that will really help to move things forward.
I saw some of the videos available on your website, and I think you do a really good job of defining the problem for people who maybe don't understand exactly what weight bias is. So we'll direct our listeners there. And there will be contact information and the website included with the data block that is available with this podcast when it arrives. Thank you very much for taking some time out for our listeners today and continue the good work.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Rebecca Poole is Director of Research and Weight Stigma Initiatives at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. You can find out more at www.yaleruddcenter.org. That's Rudd, R-U-D-D. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.